CliffCentral.com.
Yebo. CliffCentral.com on Wednesday morning. It's the first day of the last month of the year. Very exciting. Candace Mum is with us. Bulelo Tinta is with us. And I got, I saw a comment here, Bulelo, that your show was on fire yesterday, the MKT show. Somebody said it was fantastic. You ended up talking about someone going to the Oscars. Hang on a second. Let me find this. Here we go. MKT show was gold yesterday. Listened to the full show when I got home. It should be a podcast. The Selma Hayek at the Oscars was lol. Don't know what you talked about there, but it seems to have hit a chord. Nice.
Yeah, I do a Selma Hayek impression, which my team thinks is racist, but I don't know. I think it's spot on.
You know, there's going to be a moment. There's going to be a moment somewhere in the future where all the opposite things that are valuable in society now will be more valued because they'll be so rare, so hard to find. So when someone is prepared to actually espouse like a funny and not necessarily harmful take on something like racism, it may end up being something people want. In other words, if they can, if we can get back to a point where we can laugh about things like race, which we were healthily doing just a short while after democracy in this country. We started to laugh at and with each other. You know, we had like memes about colored people, black people, white people, and Indian people, and we laughed about it. We used to actually get along and we shared that stuff. I think that's coming back in some way shortly. There's going to be a way that we can have fun with it without being mean. And I look forward to that because I think that's where we're at our best. And South Africans do have a good sense of humor about this. And we don't take ourselves too seriously. We're not like most countries in the world. Again, back to countries, but it's fun. So more important than that, this time yesterday, Candace, you weren't here, but we came back from the break and I had a rusk, which I just love these rusks. So we've got South Africa's obvious Omar rusks, which everybody knows. My mother makes a rusk with a recipe I think she got from her grandmother or whatever, which is just fantastic. They're the best. And I'm biased, but I'm the only one out of the three of us who would have tried those rusks, so it's not necessarily objectively true. Bulelo sent me this picture, and he says these are the all-time champion of all rusks, these ones. They're from Woolworths. Ooh. Stone ground flour oat and bran rusks, locally baked. Ooh. So he says those are the winners, and you're nodding your head in approval. You agree?
I mean, those are some good rusks. Like, the only thing I have with them, though, this is my only objection. They can have, like, a sandy, like, finish to them. Like, there's a little bit of, like, granular sand thing that goes on in my mouth.
Your dipping technique's not very good.
No. Wait. Let us not insult the way I eat my rusks.
You drop it on the ground first? I mean, that would be the only explanation. You drop it in some soil.
That's where the problem starts.
Yeah.
No. But like, you know, like when you don't feel like you've already dipped and now you don't want to feel like double dipping, then you just take a bite and then you chew, then you drink. And like that chewing part in between is not a good look for those rusks. Those are fully dippable rusks. Like they're not like a snacky rusk. No. Mm. Just want to put that out there.
Well, it's very the reason I bring all of this up is because we've got to settle this for once and for all this morning. We know where your vote is, Mbulelo, and Candace says she mostly agrees with you. This is embarrassing. I haven't tried those rusks, so I'm going to have to go out today, buy them, and then I'll give them a try. Then we might not settle it today. Oh, yeah, I know. We might not settle this today, but I'll go and get some today, and then we can settle it tomorrow once and for all. But you talk about double dipping.
Look forward to this.
There's something that drives me crazy, and it happened on, I think it was about 3 weekends ago, when I went to I suppose you could call it like a cocktail party, a drinks party or whatever, and people had dips, and they had biscuits and chips and things, and there were people who would take their biscuits or their chips or whatever, and they'd dip it in like the you know, sun-dried tomato and whatever dip, or they'd put it in the tzatziki or whatever it is. And then some of it would break off and they'd leave it in the dip. And and then some people would not leave it in the dip. They would reach in and pull it out of the dip with their hands. And then I don't want to use that dip anymore. And I think that's really bad form. Oh, this is not on.
That is disgusting.
this is a serious problem. And it sort of put me off the idea of ever serving that stuff at my house, because this person had gone to a lot of trouble at their party, and the, you know, it was nice food, and I think everybody was having a really good time and they were enjoying the food. But this double dipping and breaking off part of your stuff in there, and you shouldn't be, you should not be allowed in polite company if you don't know how to do that properly.
No.
Right? And isn't
it? But also, can we speak? Because, like, it does, it screams psychopath to me if someone double dips. I'm just like, you crazy, insensitive.
Straight
asshole.
To psychopath.
Like, because I'm like, there should be dipping etiquette. Like, I feel like we all should all go to dipping etiquette school. Well, firstly, like, once you've bitten it, it does not return to the dip. Like, I think all of us that are conscientious, kind human beings know this. Like, your germs are not that great, Jerry. Stop freaking putting it back. And then another thing is, like, I feel like there should be spoons by the dipping plate things, and like everyone should have like their little paper plate.
Thank you.
Dish up your own dip.
Yeah.
Then you can dip away, like dip away, but don't go back to the dip. Don't it drives me crazy. It's disgusting. And also, if you're talking to someone who does that, like your eyes just naturally follow. You're like,
I know exactly what you mean. When you stand, like they bite half of their like mini bourrevores. And then, and I was just talking to Janine. We think about moving Stacey from school.
And then they've put their own fucking saliva into that dip. Now I can't I can't use that after you've done that. Sorry. Horrible.
Candace, you've just opened up something.
There's there are a couple of comments here. Basitsana says you're supposed to use cutlery with dips, man. Come on. Yeah, she's right.
Yeah.
Everyone can have their own dip.
Guys, or plastic plate.
Everyone should have their own dip, according to Ruan. It's cheap to have just one. Dip is made to piss you off, says Enon as God. The people who make it know that too. Yeah. Or take a bite and then re-dip it into the bowl. Yes, Steve, that's exactly what we're talking about. Tracy says there's a scene in Seinfeld where George lost it at a party because someone double-dipped. So funny, but yeah, it's pretty gross. Sis, man, it's disgusting. It's just unacceptable. Mm.
But how do the people that are doing it not know that all of us think it's disgusting? Like, surely you've been to these conversations where everyone complains about the dude who's always double-dipping. It's like, please don't invite Jerry. He's always double-dipping. Like, it's just not a thing. It's not a vibe.
Yeah, you cancel those people. You cancel them from the invitation list. You have to. Sorry. You can't have them at your...
For the ease.
But you have to. So we're going into the festive season, and there's certain things, and I don't want us to do what we did yesterday after we started with this Rusk thing and ended up talking about food for a whole half hour. I think we were just hungry. But we're going into a season now where there are all these different foods that only make their appearance around Christmas time. And, you know, it's a big thing to have, like, how many colors? What's the – how many colors on the plate for the Sunday lunches?
Seven
colors. So we've got lots of people who will be doing, like, Christmassy stuff. And some of it is traditional and some of it is particular and peculiar to each family. But there's some things that just – I don't believe you ever really need to go to the trouble of serving any time except Christmas for some reason. And maybe it's because South Africa is a hot place and Christmas lunches are usually served cold, certainly in our house. So like the Christmas lunch on the 25th, it's like there's some turkey or chicken. Frankly, I think chicken's better than turkey. I've never understood why people have turkey because it's tasteless and it makes you want to go to sleep. That's my opinion anyway.
Just go gammon. If you're going to go gammon,
right.
Go all the way over, have treated meat.
Yes.
Turkey is just a big nothing. And it takes forever, and it's really hard to cook.
I agree, and I don't. Turkey's not a thing here. We don't have turkeys here. I don't think we necessarily breed them on the level that we do chickens. And chicken tastes better, if you ask me. So I don't think we need the turkey. The gammon or the ham or whatever that is, that's part of Christmas too for me. But then there's the other things. And yesterday, Lebang brought it up, like asparagus is part of it, and beetroot, you know, that red beetroot that stains everything. That stuff you've got to watch too. That just stains everything. That's got to be part of it. Salads and things like that are also a big part of it. Maybe potato salad is something that people do too, because you could serve that cold. But these are things we got to start thinking about now, man. It's 1 month. We've got, you know, TikTok.
And also, let me just do a quick PSA, because obviously now the whites and the blacks, they're getting married now. It might be Craig's first birthday, first Christmas at Mama Tundi's house. Yeah, bro, I'm looking forward to it. Stay away. Let's just, let me, maybe we'll do some PSAs leading up to this. Obviously, we, the Rainbow Nation. When black people say isalad, I know white people, when they say salad, they're thinking, oh, greens, bro. Is there a little baby spinach there? Oh, I like the Woolworths one. Is there strawberry in there, bro? My girlfriend usually puts like some coconut in there, little shavings or something. When black people say isalad, it's anything that's a vegetable. So when they, say isalad, it could be from beetroot to carrots. It could be anything. We just say uzen salad. Could be carrots. Just stay aware of that. Don't bring your Western tendencies
to
Mama Tandy's house.
That's very valuable information.
That's a good warning.
That's
a good warning.
We need to figure this shit out. Oh man. All right. But I'm excited about this. I'm this time next week I'll have all the Christmas decorations up around the house. I'll be ready for that. Very, very good. I'm not. I'm not doing any Christmas shopping this year. I've decided to do it all online. So hopefully my orders will also come in next week, so I can wrap that shit up and then I can enjoy the rest of it without having that stress of having to go to the shops, spend a whole lot of money. It's done. And everybody.
Oh, I thought you were going Grinch.
No, this is
when you said I'm not doing Christmas shopping. I thought you were just like screw all of them.
So, I was like. Okay, Gareth.
I do feel a little bit bad because what I've done is I've bought everyone in the family the same present. So everyone's getting exactly the same thing. But I'm not going to say what it is because obviously there might be some of them listening now. But I got them all the same present and it cost me this much money and I don't have to spend any more. And I think they'll like the present. I mean, it's not a shit thing, but it's, you know, it's something that it was just easier than any previous Christmas. And I'm kind of enjoying the idea that I can do this again. I think if this works and they're all like happy with it and they think it's a cool present, then that's the way of the future. Then I'm going to be getting everyone the same thing from now on for Christmas. Just you take all the complication out of your life and it's something everybody can use and it's a nice present and blah, blah, blah. I think this is the way to go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But I like Christmas. Like, I like giving people gifts just generally. But I feel like I'm a selfish gift giver because I need the reaction that I want. Because if I don't get it, then I'm in my feels. I'm like, no, but you see what it is? Like, no, do it again. Like, open it. Open it. You know, like, if you don't react the way I need you to react, I get so mad. I get so mad. I don't want to lie.
There's pressure.
I'm one of those.
See, people. I would rather not get a I'd rather not get a present from you if you're that kind of person, because then there's huge pressure on me to have to react a certain way to your present, and that's not enjoyable.
Let me tell you why. No, because gift giving for me is a science.
Okay.
I listen to you throughout the year. Mm-hmm. I'm like taking notes about small things you said you wanted, you know. Sometimes it's like a compilation gift. Sometimes it's like a one thing. But I need you to be happy when I give you the gift. Like the last thing I want you to do is like open it and you're like, oh. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Is that a double giggle? What is that?
Oh, wow.
No.
Okay.
See,
so I'm sensitive.
Candace is the type of gift giver we've discussed on this show before, and you are the person why I don't like presents. Is that Candace? I've always said, right? If the gift is for me, how do you feel, Candace? If I say to you, "No, I hate this gift," because I want you know, part of gifts, I want the power to go, "I hate this. No, this is a terrible gift."
She's just your mouth fell open at the moment he said that. I can only imagine how offended you would be if Mbulelo got a gift from you and he didn't like it and he said, "Ugh."
Because I'm like, I'm a great gift giver. Like, you can do that to the others. Like, I'm not going to give you a pottery set, for goodness sake. You know, like, I'm going to think, like, if you're like, you know, being looking for this PS3 and whatever device we on, like, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to be like, you know, can we get it inscripted? Can we, like, I go the extra mile. Like, I'm getting it etched for you. So it's personalized. So that's my problem. You can't re-gift my gifts because usually it will have your name on it. Yes. Like, you can't like be like, no, 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 no. It will say Gareth. It will say Mbulelo. Like, So yeah, no, I'm a terrible person in that way. I'm not even afraid to say it. Like, I'm just like, if you can't react in an appropriate way, don't open it in front of me. That's just my one caveat. I'm like, if you're not feeling joyful today, generally, don't open your gift.
Pihleng has climbed in on the isalat. Isalat is anything drowning in mayonnaise, says Pihleng.
That's right. My man knows.
Yeah.
My man.
Robin says caprese salad. Zero to Zenful says that's very Scroogey that I've bought the same present for everyone in the family. But Robin agrees. And then Carl says, Gareth, it's obvious that you bought the holiday for the family. What else could you buy for everyone? No. It's a thing. It's an actual object. I will tell you once Christmas is rolled around, though. Michael says, I need you to be happy when I give you the gift. Scary stuff in there. Yeah, see, that's maybe you're crazy, Candace. Maybe you're asking for trouble. Because you can never really be sure what someone's reaction will be. Even if you've done the homework, even if you've put in the work, you've listened carefully to that person, you can give them a present. Yeah. And sometimes, even if it's a really nice present, their reaction isn't correct, and then it upsets you, and then you never want to give them a present again, and they feel bad, and it's a disaster.
You know what the saddest thing is, and I'm going to need to unpack this in therapy. This discussion has made me realize I turned into my mother. Like my mother was exactly the same. And I'd be like, Sandra, stop buying me gifts.
Right.
Stop it. Because I don't want your gifts. It's too much pressure. And now I'm like, oh,
we have Dr. Khan on Mondays. You can maybe come back on Monday. Yeah. Guy called Dr. Hanan, he's
free
brilliant.
Free therapy.
Dogozo says, gift giving and receiving is just way too much pressure. I avoid the whole process in general. So you can call him.
I love Dogozo.
Yeah, you can call him Scrooge. You can say he's not really into the spirit of things. But for some people, that's the easiest way to avoid trouble.
But no, because I'm just like, I'm sure you are in a happy, beautiful relationship, and I hope your wife or girlfriend is very okay with that, because hell no. Like, my love language is gifts. Like, if I love you, you will know, because I'm always buying you stuff. I'm just buying you stuff. But I do need, like you know, just a little joy. Like, I don't need a gift in return. I need joy in return. Like, I need you to look at me and be like, you know, that's my girl. Like, she knows so, what's up, you know?
So what if I hate this? What if I hate the gift?
Why would you hate it? Because,
you know what? I'm old. Just give me the money. I always say this. I don't want to bore people.
Bolelo, what's the worst gift you've got recently? Besides that coffee I brought you the other day that didn't have the almond milk in it.
Yeah. You wanted to put sugar in it, and you didn't use almond milk. But thank you for the coffee. I was grateful.
Yeah, sure.
But next time, almond milk. Yeah,
sure.
But anyway, so the worst gift I got was like a soccer shirt I already had, right? Like, somebody knows. And again, like there, it's like, okay, they know I like soccer. I know they don't like soccer. And then now it's an awkward thing. But luckily, I've known her for 25. I said, this is a terrible gift. Just take it back, because I've already got this. And she knows. Just give me the money, because I've already got enough money as an adult who isn't a drug addict to buy the stuff I want. So don't worry about trying to figure out the idiosyncrasies and be closer to me. Just give me the money if you want to get me a gift.
Oh, that's so boring.
Be happy when I say that's a terrible gift. That's terrible.
Well, don't.
Is the gift for me or for you?
Yeah, Candace, don't.
Because if you're going to complain, it's not a gift.
Don't think about getting him anything for Christmas. He deserves to sit on his own.
No, definitely not.
He deserves to have nothing under the Christmas tree this year. And if he wants an envelope of money, he can, you know, I don't know.
Go play the lottery.
Yeah, go and draw from the bank.
Like, I'm not giving you money. No, can I tell you why money's a terrible gift in Bulelo? Now, that's a shitty gift. Like, I get upset when people give me money, because I'm like, it's never the right amount. Like, how do you negotiate because you don't want to come across as, like, you know, stingy, but you also don't want to come across as, like, big money maker, because then you know when it's time to ask for a loan who they're coming to. So you never want any of that. It's like, what's the perfect amount? Like, what's the good alleyway for, like, a gift? Because
$500.
500.
I don't know.
$500. Yeah, $500. Because with $500, you can you know, it's groceries for 1 hour.
A lot of money,
I'll get my
dude.
Chicken and a little salad.
So we do this thing for my annual Christmas party with all of my friends, and they all come here, and then there's food, and we all drink, and we all party, and then we all have to bring a Secret Santa gift that costs less than $100. But you've got to try and find the shittiest thing you can, right? It's got to be a really terrible gift. Like, it's got to be nasty and cheap and tacky and stupid and vulgar, and it's got to be the worst thing you can find for under $100. And it used to be under $50, but we decided, like, you can get even worse shit if you just put in a little bit more money. And it's like a competition to see who can bring the worst. Last year I got one of those leopard print toilet seat covers that you zip onto the existing toilet seat. That's got to be one of the worst presents ever. And I loved it. Sure. Someone brought a plunger. Someone had an AIDS test as their gift, which was hilarious. So those are the things you go for to make it fun. I mean, you can make this a lot of fun. I just want to go to a comment that's, because we've only got Candace every couple of weeks here on the show, and it's always nice to have her on, and I thought maybe she could add some value to this. So Carl says, how much time do we have? Could we discuss how losing weight makes some people look amazing and others not? Example, Adele looks fantastic now, and I agree with that completely. She really does look good. Rebel Wilson lost weight, still not great. Shame. Do we have anything to say about that?
Carl, did you just say still not great, boo?
Let me see if I can find a picture of Rebel Wilson, and I'm going to find Rebel Wilson fat.
But the thing is, Sarah, what Carl is saying is essentially not about weight, because what he's saying is still not great, which means heavy, not heavy. Just Rebel Wilson is not his cup of tea, Carl. Yeah. It's not a weight situation. Yeah. It's a Rebel situation. So, like, I think overall, though, like, I just get so mad when people, like, I'm just like, do what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. Just don't get mad at me because you know what I really, and I know that's going to be like such a first world problem. It's like, as a skinny woman, right? I've been skinny my whole life. What I hate is when bigger women or bigger people get mad when I'm not happy with my weight. Mm. Like when I say something like, you know, I just want to go to the gym and tone up, and they're like, you don't need to lose weight. Girl, I didn't say I needed to lose weight, first of all. Second of all, it's my body, you know? So it's like, I just think people should do what makes them happy. I don't think you should be gaining or losing weight for anyone else. Like, if you feel good in your chubby, chunky, chubby way, I love that for you. I love it for you.
Mm. Bulelo, I know you're going to say something controversial.
Don't be fat. Yeah. Don't be fat. I've always said this. Yeah.
So
there's no need.
You know what? I'm not mad at it. Like, I do know that there are people who are really anti-heavier people, or like who really have a problem with people being, oh, bless. She doesn't look terrible.
So, much weight.
So here's Rebel Wilson. Here's Rebel Wilson, fat and thin in one picture.
She looks good. Wow. I don't know. I think you're hating, Carl. I think she looks really good here.
I think you're right.
And you know how much? No. Wait. I want to say something. I want to say something to Carl. Now, the thing is, if you are someone who goes from being overweight to looking like Rebel Wilson now, you deserve a freaking done.
That's
like,
very impressive. I agree.
Without cheating, like, it's important to say, people who snip it out, you don't get any credit. People, if she's gone and worked and got her diet right, and it's a healthy way of doing it, because that's actually the point. It's never about, you don't just get to snip it out. That's not the point. That's not sustainable. You're going to balloon again or have other health problems. If she's done that through a change of lifestyle, that's awesome.
That's phenomenal.
That is.
I'm not sure I agree with you. If someone wants to invest in getting liposuction and Bulelo, or buying boobs or getting calf implants, you know, our people don't have the best calves. Like, you do you, it's your money. Go do you. Like, if you're not dating that individual in Bulelo, how does that affect you, how they chose to lose weight?
No. So we're talking about this particular one. I know it's going to happen again. If you do any shortcuts in life, that hole that you, lack of personal development you have there.
I want to say that I think anyone who has the self-discipline to lose weight, in any which way. And also, I mean, like, some people have their stomach stapled or whatever. That might be part of what they do, but it gets them down the road a little bit faster. And it's not about how you look, it's about how you feel. What Candace was saying earlier. Yeah. If you can get to a point where you love yourself a little bit more, you love your body, you don't hate your body, yeah. you don't hate yourself, that's good. I'm a fan.
Agreed.
So Rebel Wilson, good for you, babe. You go for it.
Yeah.
Agreed. That's
great.
All the snaps. Go. Well done. Yeah. You look great.
So people
I think she looks amazing.
People are talking about the Secret Santa thing, and we've stirred up a hornet's nest here. So here we go. Let me go to this. Hadamine says, I managed to get my hands on that disgusting Swedish fermented fish. That is going to be my worst gift to someone this year. That is called surströmming. It's the most disgusting smell, apparently. You just retch when they open it. So that sounds, that could be a hilarious Secret Santa gift. I wonder, can we even buy that in this country?
Yeah, yeah. You can?
Can?
You can get it. I know one store in Cape Town, yeah.
Jesus.
Camps, I forget what the road is in Camps Bay, the German shop.
Dude 69 says, I hate Secret Bloody Santa. I have to buy a gift for the 60-year-old woman at work. What do you give a woman that age? Well,
60 is not that old. Like, I mean, no. Wait, let's also just look at this. Like, look at how Jennifer Lopez looks right now. Like, and she's what, 50-something? Like, 60 is not like the Golden Girls age, unless she is, you know, of that. You know, but I don't think 60 is that old. And I think if you hate Secret Santa, that's one thing. But I don't think it's because she's 60. I mean, she's not dead.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
But
like,
why don't you cut to the chase and give him an idea for a 60-year-old woman? I'm not. Let's not talk about whether 60.
I mean, I don't know her. It doesn't need to be a good gift.
Yeah, make it. You said you're the gift giver, and you're the best.
Yeah,
at this, so pressure's
on my PlayStation.
No, pressure's on you. Go.
Mbulela, I do not like the arrogance at which you came closer to the screen with. That was a challenging look.
Go on. What do you suggest?
No, it depends. Like, you'd have to like know her kind of disposition. If she enjoys cooking, get her something like from like at home, or like, you know, something like in the kitchen base.
Okay.
If she's like someone who enjoys like, you know, self-luxuriating, go get her like a gift card to do her nails, or like, you know, a like bath salts from like body shop or something. Uh-huh. Like, it's not that hard, you know. Right. Like, just make it seem like you thought about something.
Quentin,
you know, edible underwear. Maybe get her edible underwear.
No, don't get her edible underwear.
Okay.
Quentin says, okay. I once got a bottle of All Gold and toenail clippers for Christmas. Yo.
that's awesome.
Yo, who gave you that? Whoever gave you that hates you. They hate you. Right?
Wow. That is an act of defiance. That is an act to show you. I went out of my way to show you how little you mean to me. That is what I would take that gift
that
as.
That is so good.
Terrible.
That is so good.
Maynard says, my fattest weight was 120. I'm 100 now. And just by cutting sugar and being more active, it came easy. I feel great. Awesome stuff, man. That's great.
Love that. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Love that for you.
Nico
it's
says,
not about looking like men's health. It's just healthy life.
Nico says, an extra pair of false teeth is a gift. That's horrible.
Oh, is that for a 60-year-old?
Yeah.
Nico.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What kind of 60-year-olds do y'all know? Like, I'm starting to wonder.
Get a bulk pack of batteries, says Steve. Zero to Zenful says, get a cow. Nobody expects a cow. Terrible. These are such bad ideas.
Cow, you know the price of cows, Zero to Zen? Look, I mean, I'm just asking.
Dogozo, who's on Bolelo's side on the gift giving, says, I couldn't think of anything worse than Secret Santa, especially for colleagues. I'm so glad they don't force us to do that anymore. Oh,
I've
the Scrooges
always hated
coming out,
Secret
hey?
Santa.
Mm, yes. Yeah, you would be shit at it. You wouldn't have.
Oh, my God.
You'd be terrible. Mm. Absolutely terrible.
Like in sports teams, we used to be forced to do this.
Mm.
Oh, just awful.
Okay, Santa sucks. I don't like Secret Santa either. Because, I don't know, it's like everyone hates doing it. And usually the person you paired up with is not the person you know or even really like.
It has
to. We can work with tons of people.
So the reason I think our one works is because everybody's friends and everybody knows each other and we all have a sense of humor about it. And it's a race to the bottom, not a race to the top. So you have to get the worst gift, not the best gift. You know, in a conventional Secret Santa, you actually want to give whoever you're giving the gift to something that they actually want, which is not the point for our Secret Santa. We do that because it's got to be shit. I just want to quickly throw this in here because coming up today on Beyond Madness, live at 11 a.m., or you can get the podcast later, Prof. Suvira Ramalal will join Professor Christopher Paul Szabo to discuss how your spirituality can affect your healing process. This is really interesting. They discuss the science of the soul and the connection between spirituality and identity and how this affects our mental state. And that is because they are both psychiatrists and they are not just talking about this stuff. They're unpacking some fairly complex and well thought out arguments in respect of this area where it gets a bit gray. You know, spirituality, the science of the soul, psychiatry, how that helps some people to heal quickly and how it makes it harder for people who don't necessarily have that to lean on to get to a position where they can really work it out and feel better about themselves. So Beyond Madness today, available on cliffcentral.com, the Cliff Central app, Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you go and listen to that today. Just put in your diary. In fact, just download the podcast ASAP and listen to it as soon as you can. There we go. All right.
I'm writing it down.
Yes. Oh, no, this is a great show. And really, it's one of a kind. These people who Prof. Szabo talks to are some of the smartest people I've heard talking about this very complicated but very en vogue subject of mental health and mental illness and mental welfare and all the rest of it. You know, everybody is an armchair psychologist, but not everybody can claim to be a psychiatrist. So let's see what happens there. Neil says, to go back to the gifts and Christmas and everything else, we catch my son out every year with a funny gift. The one we gave him, 1 year we gave him a box of Aromat and he thought it was the best. Shame. That's it is quite fun to give children at least one really shit gift and they don't ever know what to do with it. Like you wrap a potato up or whatever. I mean, you got and then
I think with kids it's important. Yeah.
You've got
to like set the bar really low.
Set the bar low because they're expecting it to be, and you know, my little nephews, God bless them, they're spoilt rotten because there isn't a toy that they haven't had at some point. So I just know I can't buy them anything their parents haven't already got them. So I almost want to give them something kind of ridiculous. Like I remember the 1 year I gave the youngest one slime. It was just this huge bucket of slime. His mother looked at me when he unwrapped this and she was like, oh no, you're going to ruin our house. Thanks so much for this. But you know, the idea of the box of Aromat or the potato is quite a fun one. Because then,
very funny.
Then the kid will never forget. They'll dine out in that story for 100 years. Like my uncle gave me a fucking potato 1 year.
True story. But
on the gift thing, you know, for me and I because annoyingly, the few people that I call my friends are really really nice people, and they do the Candace thing where they try and give me gifts, and they always go for it every year. And now I know it's to annoy me. But I wish they could just understand. I just want to spend time with the people I love. Like this, give me stuff. I've got stuff. I've got all the stuff I want. Don't worry about it. I just want to, and then people get edgy about that because then I say, oh, well, that's the gift I want. I'd like to spend some time together. And then they get, oh, just, you know how it is. It's a little busy. Or so then don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Well, I'll see you on Christmas or.
Well, I don't know. I think that's a gift in and of itself. Like I would buy you an experience then. Like, let's go do something together that we wouldn't traditionally do. Like, you know, quality time is your like love language or whatever it is. Like, then let's go like skiing together or like,
I like to snowboard by myself. I like where you went.
Who hurt you, boo?
Yeah,
who hurt you?
Exactly.
Like, what happened?
You brought this, upon yourself, Candace. Sorry. You don't know what you're dealing with here. You're
wow.
This is not
maybe some therapy sessions. No, that's
I'm quite good at snowboarding as well. I don't have to wait for you while you're clipping your skis on. As well.
It's
so annoying. No, I made that mistake once. Can I give you a quick traumatic story? So the two girlfriends I've had both skied for their countries, and I remember them having to wait for me. And I was quite good, but they skied internationally. And I was on a snowboard and I was like, oh, that's terrible what I've just done. I'm never going to have that again on any activity. If you're not up to it, I'm not coming. You're not coming with me. There's no ways. I don't like to wait for people.
Well, now you know how those those people felt at the end of the finish line after your stupid race over the weekend. Coming at you.
Oh, you got me. Very good. Right. Touche.
I love Fatiswa. Fatiswa says, I once gave my very good friend 2 kilograms of Tastic for her birthday. She was very disappointed, but her real gift was a painting I commissioned for her. Oh, that's nice. So you start them off. You start them off by thinking that the bag of Tastic is their present, but then you've actually got a much better present for them. That's cool. I like that a lot. That's what I'm going to do for the kids.
That's very cool.
I've just decided I'm going to give them a terrible present, and they're going to be hugely disappointed. And then I'll say, I'm only kidding. Here's your real present. And just see how they handle it.
Cute. Yeah. Well, they'll make it like something that they might actually like. Like you think it's like a terrible gift, because you know how kids are. You think it's a terrible gift and they fall in love with it. Well, and then you give them the real thing and they're like they're kind of disappointed.
How about how about a rock? Okay. How about a rock with a face drawn on it? All right. Very good. Listen, we got to wrap this up. Just Michael says, Candace, as a hurt gift giver, you can't really ask Mbulelo who hurt you. Yeah, that's a good point.
Touché, Michael. Call me out. Okay. And, Winster, but at least I can identify my trauma.
When Staring Pikachu says a lump of coal as they've been naughty. Yeah, that's also a terrible gift. Okay, we got to wrap this up because it's time for Blind History. Candace, it's always good to see you. Thanks for making some time to be with us this morning. I love having you on. You make us all very happy. And happy December. If we don't see you before Christmas, have a good one.
Thank you, everyone. So much fun. Love being here.
Awesome stuff. And Bulelo, we will see you tomorrow.
William.
All right, here it is, Blind History. The next episode, the latest, the best episode, season 6. Take it away. What's the first thing you do after waking up? After your alarm goes off, maybe you switch on a light, then check your phone while waiting for the kettle to boil. Not a single one of these things would be possible without the genius, hard work, and competition of 2 of history's greatest inventors. It's no exaggeration that the fierce battle between them over electricity led to all the greatest developments of the past 120 years. The fact that you can download and listen to this episode of Blind History is a result of their efforts. The remarkable lives of Nikola Tesla and Thomas Edison, and the way that they were interconnected, is a story for the ages. It is time for another episode of Blind History, and we've maybe paid too little attention to these guys, because the inventors and the great genius minds of the world are not always the conquerors or the emperors or the kings or those tremendously powerful leaders in history. Sometimes they're the people who help us to have the technology that we use to make this podcast. And 2 of these people today who are in huge competition with each other are the focus of this episode of Blind History. I'm here with my co-host, Anthony Miedera, and we are talking about Tesla and Edison. Now, you'd be forgiven for thinking we're talking about 2 companies, because actually these 2 were such powerhouses that their names were eventually the names of companies. And a lot of Tesla's reputation, or the revival in his reputation, is thanks to Elon Musk and the Tesla company that is named after him. Because this guy would have been forgotten to history. Ant, I mean...
Yeah, correct.
Got a raw deal.
He definitely got a raw deal. Look, he was a mad scientist, as people would have termed. And you know how many comics and books have been written about Tesla? He's even the villain with Superman.
Really?
So there's just, it's insane.
I think he wasn't a villain, he was a hero.
I know, but that's how they've sort of pictured him.
Yeah.
But 100% raw deal. I mean, at the time, he made Edison look ridiculous, and that's one of the greatest inventors of all time.
Yeah. So let's just talk about how they each started, because I think people need to know that they were both from very different backgrounds. Tesla was born in Croatia. and he was a Serbian by birth. His mother was into invention and innovation and all of that stuff too. So she was a big influence in his life. And he was born at a time where I don't think people really even had the faintest grasp of physics. I mean, none of the basic rules of how the world works had been established. And this guy was just curious about everything. He had a brilliant mind, apparently an eidetic memory. He could remember everything. If he read a book, he could remember every page and every word on every page. If you gave him a complicated mechanical drawing, he could memorize it and then replicate it without ever having to draw it himself.
And a lot of the technology and a lot of these inventions he did while he was walking in a park, and then he actually pictured it in his mind, and then later on he would draw it out. So he was a mathematician. He used that much more than, let's say, Edison used it.
Wasn't he also able to do like advanced calculus at a very young age?
100%.
Clearly this guy was not a normal human being.
No, he was a
real genius.
Yeah. Look at when he was born, the story goes, there was a massive thunderstorm and the midwife said, oh, this is going to be a dark child. And the mother said, oh no, contraire, it won't be. This is going to be a light child.
Child of the light.
And that turned out as such. Mm. His dad wanted him to be a Orthodox priest, which he was, but then he got very sick. Because he was quite a sickly child, and his brother, who sadly died when he was five, seemed to be the one they were looking at to you know, rise above in the family. But he got sick, and then he said his dad promised him, look, if you get better, I'll send you to technical school, etc. And that's actually what happened, and that started him on the road. But he was already, by then, he'd already done incredible things.
And he never slept. He had maybe 3 hours of sleep a night, and apparently an obsessive compulsive disorder, not unlike Howard Hughes and not unlike many other genius people through history.
Sensory overload is something that they didn't know in those days, so they termed it nervous breakdown, but he had that.
Genius has a price, I suppose.
100%.
But he didn't finish his degree, so he was never qualified. He was never a doctor of physics or any of those things. He never won any prizes, despite the fact that he chalked up over 100 patents in his life and things that we use today that we owe to him.
So many different things, wireless technology, early cell phones. He was talking about that because that was communication he spoke about.
Yeah.
He said, we're going to communicate in the world like never before. Electric cars. There's so many different things that he did, but the university side of it, you know, he enjoyed gambling.
Yeah.
So in his, let's say in his younger life, I'm not sure, it's not mentioned later on, but definitely in the early life. And he basically took the money for the university education and he basically spent it all. He lost it all on gambling.
So again, even if you're a genius, you're not necessarily going to win. Yeah. And he did win it all back eventually and paid back, you know, his family who'd helped put him through varsity, but then he just disappeared.
Yeah.
He was so embarrassed by not having succeeded there. And this is something that happened later on in his career as well, that he actually couldn't face them. So he just disappeared. People thought he died,
but he was appointed at the International Edison Company in France,
right
in Paris. And he worked there, and his boss, who was quite close to Edison, thought this guy was incredible in what he did. He took a lot of the technology that they'd brought from the States, the inventions from Thomas Edison, he improved them. Mm-hmm. And he also came up with different angles. And he was very much already thinking of AC versus DC.
Right.
Alternating current versus direct current. He was really thinking about it. But anyway, his manager at the time was called back to America, wrote a letter for Tesla and said, please come with.
Apparently, he went to America with 4 cents in his pocket or something.
All his stuff was stolen on the ship. And America shocked him. You know, he saw this place very, very industrialized compared to where he came from Paris and from Europe. So it was a big shock to his system when he actually got to America. But he did look Edison up and he joined them for 6 months.
Hmm. Well, we're going to pause the story there and tell you a little bit about Edison, because he was probably America's greatest inventor. Certainly, that's how history describes him. He managed to figure out and devise and innovate in areas like the phonograph, the motion picture camera. I mean, can you imagine how much money Hollywood has generated over the years since Edison invented that camera? Sound recording, mass communication. There were lots of these things that he was involved in. And he was also credited with the light bulb, even though it's slightly suspicious just how he figured that out on his own. And people like Tesla helped him to perfect it. But he was more the marketing guy than anything else. He was an inventor, certainly.
Yeah.
But he was also really good at business, and he established the Edison Company, and they had patents registered for just about everything.
You know that he was good at bargaining. He actually, when we talk about business, he lost tons of money because he latched on too much. So it's such as the mining. He was so stuck on sorting out what he wanted to try and invent for iron ore, et cetera, that he lost his fortunes. You know that both of them actually weren't that great at money, but Edison was, like you said, your point was he was an entrepreneur and he could bargain hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
From a young age, you could see his entrepreneurial skills and inventive skills. So he joined as a newspaper boy on the trains and to sell sweets in there.
Mm-hmm.
But not long after that, he realized he can get communication via the telegraph. And so he put a little printing press on the train and also a little laboratory where he could invent because there were long trips, but it caught fire and it burned down the whole cart. So the train driver kicked him off the train and then boxed his ears, as they termed in the old days, which apparently then was why he was deaf.
Oh, really?
But having said that, this was a story I read out of a great book, which is 100 Lives,
mm-hmm.
written in 1945, 1950, or thereabouts. So it's actually quite refreshing to read those stories. But what subsequently was, I think it was a family problem that they had with the hearing, and it wasn't because his ears were boxed.
But he liked to blame the conductor or the driver of the train.
100%.
That's great. Well, I mean, speaking of laboratories that burnt down, the same thing happened to poor old Tesla. His laboratory in New York burnt down. It burnt so badly with all the chemicals and the, you know, experimental technology in it that it actually fell from the second floor through the first and down to the ground. And there was some serious research material that was lost.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that he was working on that, who knows, he may have had, you know, this idea, which they still say is something that he might have been on the money with, is free electrical energy for Earth that we could get out of the ionosphere. Mm. And he, you know, he built this tower in Long Island, which is supposed to have been able to give us that power. They dispute now that he would have had the ability to do it, but who knows?
But I mean, there were so many things. Also in that fire was ozone therapy.
Yeah.
And I mean, ozone therapy is only starting to gain some significance.
It's come back now.
Correct. To be able to help cancer victims. You know, it's not been proven.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of evidence to say that it does work.
Look, also a great inventor, and you don't have to square them up against each other. In life, it turned out they did have a competition. Yeah. And this is where we're going to bring Tesla back in, because the big fight was over alternating and direct current. Direct current was what Edison was using mostly, and it was hugely expensive. You needed cables as thick as your arm. You needed a power station every couple of hundred meters. So it was very inefficient, whereas alternating current allowed you to create a huge network, and it was much more efficient, and you could do more with it. And that was largely the innovation of Tesla's. And there was this huge competition on between the two of them. But they did, as you point out, work together. Problem was that Edison had promised Tesla a whole lot of money, like $1 million in today's money, to figure out a way of making his electric motor more effective. And he did it. And then he said to Edison, "Where's my money?" And Edison went, "Ho, ho, ho, you don't understand our sense of humor." Mm. And he thought, well, screw you.
Yeah.
You know, and he was very pissed off, justifiably.
Yeah, right to say, yeah.
And throughout his life, he seems to have been at the short end of every bargain.
Mm.
And he decided then he stormed off in a huff and refused to work with Edison again. And they got into this battle over AC and DC.
Now, first, he dug a few trenches, though, in between jobs.
I mean, he was literally working as a street worker and digging holes.
But, you know, he didn't care.
No, and he didn't care about money either, which is the difference between him and Edison as well. And clearly alternating current was going to win. But, I mean, Edison did some dodgy, dirty things to try and sink AC. He electrocuted an elephant and had people's pets stolen.
Topsy the elephant. he killed him.
But he was doing all of this, all these horrible things, to make AC look bad.
Yeah.
And so Tesla, who was much smarter, actually stood in the Grand Exhibition, I think it was, and he let the AC current flow through him to light up some light bulbs, thereby demonstrating this stuff, if you know what you're doing, is not dangerous, whereas DC is dangerous. It'll fry you.
Yeah.
So in the end, AC did win.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a big job they were going for when they had this battle, the Niagara Falls. And
that's
the big generation of electricity.
For hydroelectric power, which was a big deal. And Westinghouse, which was the company that Tesla was working for, got into some trouble too further down the line. And they said to Tesla, look, please, can you sacrifice some of your your fees as your royalties for coming up with these inventions. Otherwise, we're not going to make it through the next 10 years of business. And he did. He tore up the contract. Again, screwing himself over.
Yeah.
But he loved inventing. He cared more about the science than about money.
And he did end up penniless. It wasn't due to Edison in any way. It was just the way he operated and actually the way that he was treated.
Yeah.
When he died, you'd never have believed, you know, I don't think he would have ever imagined how famous he would have been today.
Well, I mean, Edison, to go back to him for a second, he knew lots of famous people. I mean, Henry Ford worked for him for a little while. And he made lots of money, Edison.
Him and Ford were actually very close together. Firestone Ford and Edison were going these road trips together.
Yeah.
Edison was trying to design artificial tires. Right. So that was one thing that didn't necessarily work, along with these concrete furniture that also didn't work. Yeah. So it wasn't necessarily that everything they touched was this latest greatest.
Well, there are two or three things about Edison before we finish off with how Tesla ended, which is quite sad. But Edison was, you know, also a bit mad. I mean, he only drank milk towards the end because he thought that, you know, this liquid diet was the way to prolong life. But he eventually succumbed to diabetes, and they've actually got his last breath in a test tube. As he breathed his last breath.
Was a president did it, or somebody said that?
I don't know who did it, but he sealed this test tube of air in the inventor's room shortly after his death. They also made a plaster death mask of him, but he did well, and his life was mostly happy. And he kind of begged, borrowed, stole, and deceived where he needed to get ahead.
Yeah.
Whereas Tesla was this pure sort of character who, to the end, he was feeding pigeons. He tells this bizarre story, Tesla, of this one white pigeon that he had a relationship with. And this pigeon would come to him when he called it. And it arrived on his windowsill one day because he was staying at the New Yorker Apartments, which is part of a hotel. It's still there in New York. And he didn't have a whole lot of money. He was living rent-free. And this pigeon arrived. And he says the pigeon arrived to tell him that she was dying. And he was so close to this pigeon that he just knew. Mm. And once she'd given him that message, this beam of light came out of its eyes.
Sure, there was bright light. And then he developed a little device to keep her
alive.
And
I think he probably went a bit mad towards the end, because that's not the way that sane people talk.
Madder than he was originally.
Yeah. And then, you know, the maid discovered he was dead like a day later in the room. He just didn't have any visitors, didn't have any family, didn't have any friends.
So he abstained from alcohol, from tobacco, from sex.
And wasn't he in the end only drinking milk as well and eating like cookies?
Maybe.
Something like that. He wasn't eating anything else. These guys were definitely a bit.
Yeah. Well, they say he also had Asperger's.
Yeah.
What's interesting about it is he was very sensory. He could actually hear the pocket clock ticking three rooms away. A fly would land on a table and it would actually make it be so loud that he would freak out. And he hated pearls or jewelry on women. They absolutely hated that. So they introduced him to this beautiful woman and she was charismatic, but she had pearls. He couldn't even look at her. So, and you know, the thing was, it was quite frustrating because apparently, you know, he was 6'2", dark hair, blue eyes, good looking. Women loved him, but he wasn't interested. So that, of what we know of.
Yeah. Well, it's all very strange. This guy, I mean, both of them, incredible human beings, but Tesla,
massively,
by far the most underappreciated of the two of them. So much of what we use today, you pointed out wireless technology, you know.
So they've advanced the world. And what was incredible about that time, especially in the United States, was they'd just come out of the Civil War and suddenly there was just massive industrialization. And the rest of the world looked on in awe because they built the Great Railroads.
Yeah, that was Carnegie, among others.
Correct. And from north to south, from east to west, suddenly now the market opened up because you could access to everybody everywhere. I mean, you can go to San Francisco in no time. So you can communicate via telegraph, which was also a new invention, which Edison improved from Morse's efforts. It was just incredible. And Tesla came into that environment. Both of them set the scene for the 20th century.
And he's got a 26-kilometer wide crater named after him on the moon.
Tesla.
The Tesla crater, yeah. But I mean, otherwise not too many honors and
Well, I mean, if you go to his hometown, there's a lot. People are very proud. They say, was he Bosnian? They were arguing about who he really, you know, where he was actually from. But there's a monument for him now, and he's, you know, all his work.
There's apparently a statue of him at Niagara Falls, actually.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I don't want to choose between the two of them because so much of what we use every single day now is dependent on those original patents they worked out, those innovations that came to them that they discovered. The whole world owes both of these men an enormous debt of gratitude. And even though they might not have got along in real life, the fact that we had both of them alive at the same time probably made everything happen that much faster.
Yeah. And like Tesla said, a lot of the inventors around me are for the present.
Yeah.
I'm for the future.
That's great because God knows he didn't have an easy life.
Yeah.
And maybe his legacy is the biggest part about him, and he deserves all that credit that we're giving him now.
Agreed.
Just as an aside, he also, he didn't mind that Marconi used his technologies and his ideas to eventually invent the radio.
Yes.
And then Marconi ended up getting the lion's share of that credit too.
And the Nobel Prize.
And the Nobel Prize. I mean, this poor guy, honestly, like, you know, for all the stuff he did.
Yeah. But they set the story straight at least. That was at least a good part.
Well, and there was a big court case that was worth billions that was only settled after his death.
Mm.
So again, no use to him in the present, but in the future.
Yeah.
He's the winner.
But, you know, if he had the money, he probably would have blown it anyway on pigeons.
And gambling.
And gambling.
And milk.
Or maybe pigeon racing. Did you put both together?
Well, at least that pigeon would have got some serious alimony. You know?
Exactly.
That pigeon would have got the lion's share of his estate if she just outlived him.
Yeah.
Anyway, what a sad story for Tesla, but at the same time, hugely inspiring. Blind History is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. All the episodes are available on the cliffcentral.com website and app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You talk about the cinescope. It was like a 5-second clip, and it was like the 19th century TikTok, because everybody was just looking at it over and over and over again. We have to put ourselves in that era, and what that didn't see stuff like this.
Yeah. Cliffcentral.com.